Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over some ideas that I've been kind of contemplating over the weekend. And I think it's important that we go through these ideas so we can start to understand what the next steps for Russia or China may be, even if this invasion comes to an end. And obviously, hopefully it will very, very soon. But even if it does come next step for China, what's their game plan? What's the end game for them? And to dive into this a little deeper, and I'm doing a whiteboard video on this today. It'll be ready tomorrow night. So if you're not following it completely, don't worry. Just watch that whiteboard video and you'll get it. But to go over this idea, it starts with Luke Grohman, a good friend of mine. And let's see, we've got the screen share. Let's go over, just listen to a quick 30 or 40 seconds of his most recent interview with Palisades Radio, where he discusses the idea of Russia potentially selling its oil for gold instead of dollars. So settling in gold instead of dollars. And I think we discussed this briefly last week, but I want to get into it a little more extensively on this video. So let's cut over and hear what Luke has to say.
What if Russia comes out and just we and China have agreed that to get around sanctions, we are going to transact in we're gonna settle gold or oil, excuse me, in physical gold at a new ratio of 1,000 barrels per ounce of gold, and everyone is going to go, oh my God, this is a great arbitrage, right? I'm going to go buy 1,000 ounces of COMEX gold or GLD, and then I'm going to convert it to physical. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to take the physical over to Russia, and I'm going to get 1,000 barrels of oil, and then I'm going to sell the oil, and I'm going to get rich. And the market probably is going to shut down. It's going to crash instantly. The paper gold markets will just go, boop, cash settle everybody, game over.
Right.
And then you're going to, the oil, the real value is going to reprice gold. Again, I'm not saying that will happen. I think that's a long shot. If I was Putin and if I was pushed that far, that's what I would do.
Okay. So just so we're all clear here, basically what he's saying is potentially Russia reprices gold by selling their oil for gold, but at a ratio of 1,000 barrels per ounce. And you say, George, that sounds insane. That would be $2 per barrel. Yeah, until the price of gold adjusted way, way, way higher as a result of the arbitrage opportunity. So if you're a market participant, even if you're an oil producer, let's say, where your cost to produce is 10, 20, 30 bucks, why wouldn't you buy from Russia at $2 and take that oil and just sell it back on the market and pocket the spread? So this creates an epic amount of demand for physical gold, which quickly drives the price higher. Russia is collecting all of the gold. And when everything is said and done, like what Luke said, you find an equilibrium price at about or back to, let's call it $100 a barrel for oil, which would mean that if they're pricing it in gold, would mean $100,000 an ounce for gold. And so then you start scratching your head and say, okay, well, what would that mean? Now, all of a sudden, Russia has, call it 6.7 trillion plus in gold reserves. And what's their next step? Well, let's, before we get there, let's go over another chart, actually a couple more. And first, let's go over China's gold reserves. I want to remind you, back in 2014, that's when Russia was in the news last for invading an area, this case was Crimea, and the United States followed up with sanctions, significant sanctions. And this, I'm not going to say those sanctions were right or wrong, I'll let you be the judge, but the bottom line is this is kind of a wake-up call to Russia saying, wait a minute here. We need to rely a lot less on the dollar because at the end of the day, that's a liability of a commercial bank in which may be significantly influenced by the United States and or the West. So you'll notice that around this time, Chinese gold reserves did what? You can see by this chart, they skyrocketed higher. They went from 1,000 tons up to pretty much up in a straight line to 1,800 or 1,700. And since then they've gradually moved up to almost 2,000 tons. Okay, well, what has Russia's gold reserves done during the same period of time? You see right here, 2014, that would have been when they got hit with the sanctions. What happens? They start buying gold hand over fist till they get to a point at the end of 2020 or so. They level it off a bit, but it's over 2,100 tons of gold. Now, you say, George, but the United States has more gold. It does, but at the end of the day, what's more important, gold or energy? That would be energy. And then you say, well, what about China? Well, at the end of the day, what's more important, gold or stuff? Stuff. So if you've got a lot of gold, if you've got a lot of energy, if you've got a lot of stuff, you've got a lot of leverage. And then what happens is the outstanding amount of rubles, obviously, is far, far less than dollars globally. So you wouldn't need as much gold to back a ruble than you would a dollar. Now, you can adjust the actual ratios. Is it 40% backing? Is it 100% backing, 10%, whatnot? But just to kind of giving it an apples to apples comparison, my point here is that Russia and China are doing something. That make no mistake about it. And it looks like it's coordinated. And I think it's very interesting that this just happened to correspond with the exact time frame where the United States sanctioned Russia back the last time. And we've heard a lot of talk about them starting to settle transactions for rubles or yuan outside of the dollar. So there's a petrodollar component of this. What happens if they're all of a sudden settling oil for gold? And what does that do to the petrodollar? Does that make the dollar lose its reserve currency status? Not really. There's a lot of things at play. Do we have a bifurcated global economy like we did when I was growing up, the East and the West? Maybe. Something more like that.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow rebel capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level.
So going back to Luke's thought experiment, you have Russia basically sucking up all of this gold. And plenty of gold to have a gold-backed ruble if they so choose. Then it starts to get really fascinating. because let's forget the rubles and yuan and dollars for a moment. Let's say right now you have the option, every one of you on this live stream right now, of holding two different types of dollars. Dollar number one was just the traditional greenback that we have, fiat. You're getting 0% interest rate basically in a checking account or savings account, losing, call it 7.5% at a minimum per year if you believe the CPI numbers. And then option number two would be to have a dollar. It looks the same, maybe slightly different, still green, still George Washington and Lincoln, and hopefully Benjamin Franklin. But these dollars are redeemable for gold. They're backed by gold. And therefore, the government can't print them to infinity and beyond. And they are more outside the system, meaning the banksters, they constrains the bankers who are willing to deal with these types of dollars. Therefore, the interest rates most likely would be far, far greater. There'd be more of a market interest rate. So let's just assume that this second option for dollars that you hold and transact with would be a dollar backed by gold, where maybe you put it into a savings account and you get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%. So which dollars would you choose? I think that's kind of a rhetorical question. It's a no-brainer, right? You'd choose the latter. So then what if they weren't dollars? What if they were just something else? What if they were rubles? What if they were a currency that was the combined effort of China, Russia, Saudi Arabia? Maybe some people wouldn't want to do that. I think it all depends. What's the inflation rate in the United States? Do we go from 7.5? I think we might go down a little bit Q3, Q4. But if we are in secular inflation, then that means that it might in the next couple of years go to 10%, to 15%. Who knows how high it can go? You say, well, George, I just hold physical gold. Okay, well, that's a good option for sure. But remember, all of your expenses are denominated in dollars, not gold. So it'd be interesting how that would work with that currency. Would that go up or down against the dollars, or would everything be repriced in the new dollar? That would be interesting. So since I guess that's not a good example, because in this case, it would be a different currency. So you would be earning dollars. Okay, so scratch that last idea. So why wouldn't you just hold gold? I think probably the main reason would be because you could hold this currency in a savings account and get a 5 or 6% return, let's say, maybe greater. And you wouldn't have really any FX risk, because at the end of the day, you could redeem those currency units for gold. So it's basically like holding gold and getting a 7% yield. And so I know a lot of people still wouldn't do it, but a lot of people would. So then what does that mean for the supply-demand equation with the still fiat dollar, with the reserve currency for the West instead of the East? And if that makes demand less, I'm not saying it loses its reserve status within the West, but I would say that the value of that fiat dollar relative to goods and services would definitely go down. Boy, oh boy, especially if you are trading with the Chinese and you're dependent upon the Chinese, or maybe also the Russians to a certain degree, for your imports. You know, those imports are going to be a hell of a lot more expensive, that's for sure. You say, well, George, that would hurt Russia and China. Maybe. I mean, it depends on just a cost-benefit analysis and how much of a benefit they would receive from being the issuer of this new currency of the East that was backed by gold. And are they trying to transition their economy into an economy that's more consumption-driven? I don't know. These are all open-ended questions. I think the main point is these are questions that I'm personally trying to think through. And by the look of how much gold Russia and China have purchased since 2015, I'm guessing they're thinking about this as well. I'm probably not the only one that's thinking about this. And it sounds extreme. It sounds like, in fact, it sounds so extreme that it seems like there's a 0% probability. But so did the lockdowns when the Cerveza sickness came out. I mean, I remember thinking through that. And I remember thinking there's just no way that the United States would ever lock down. I mean, I was thinking this even in February, but although it seems like this is an impossible scenario, if this Cerveza sickness continues the way it's continuing, that's the end game. That's the logical conclusion. As weird and as bizarre and as improbable as it seemed. And so I think this is the same type of thing. It's like you kind of see the writing on the wall, but you have a hard time buying it just because it's improbable. But I think we're living in a time when what seems to be impossible is more often than not what ends up coming to fruition. So this is not a prediction. This is only just kind of reading the tea leaves, or trying to, and saying, okay, what the fact of the matter is, Russia and China are loading up on gold. And they did this right at the same time when the sanctions occurred initially. And now that they've got a ton of gold, no pun intended, and the United States is in a vulnerable position because you've got high rates of inflation, you've got an overvalued stock market that the economy is dependent upon, and you got Europe in a very weakened state because they're so dependent on natural gas. Is Ukraine really the end game here? Or is it something far, far, far greater that the Western financial media just hasn't been able to see, or they haven't been able to connect these dots or put these pieces of the puzzle together, because they're just, they lack, to say that they lack imagination isn't even, that's not the right way of saying it. They're just, they're not deep thinkers. I think that's the fairest way to say it. And in times like these, I think you need to be a deep thinker to get your head around what 2023 and beyond may look like. And so I wanted to bring up these charts, wanted to bring up that idea, and we'll probably cap it off with tomorrow's whiteboard video. So just in case you're not following this completely, as far as how gold would get from where it is today to 100,000 per ounce by Russia repricing gold through selling 100 or 1,000 barrels of oil for 1 ounce. Again, don't worry about it, and it'll be crystal clear. And in step number 3 of that whiteboard video, I'm trying to connect all of these dots for you on the whiteboard as far as Russia, China, maybe Saudi Arabia pursuing a gold-backed currency in the future. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you on the next video.